Take your Bible and turn to the book of Numbers this morning. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11 in our Bible. We will look at complaining this morning, a thought of complaining. In the message this morning, we come to a couple of chapters that make us really wonder about the children of Israel. Were they ever happy? Were they ever content? They had so much, didn't they? They had so amazing display of God's presence, His provision, everything, and yet they always seemed to be upset or complaining about something. You'd wonder how they could have so many miracles done for them and still complain. But then we look in the mirror because we have so much to be thankful for. But what are we? We often complain. I'm sure that there were some that woke up this morning or maybe even hearing the weather forecast and said, oh, it's raining. Why does it have to rain? I think Canadians, that's one of the things we're famous for, isn't it? Complaining about the weather. Because some of us are real Canadians at heart and say, when's the snow coming? And some of the rest of us are saying, is the snow coming? Or does it have to, right? But, you know, we complain about the weather often. It's either too hot or too cold. It's either too wet or too dry. And it depends on, you know, whether you're gardening or whether you're, you know, wanting to enjoy vacation time. All these different things, we complain about the weather. We complain about drivers. The driver in front of us is either going too fast, or the one behind us usually, you know, complain about they're trying to go too fast, or the one in front is trying to go too slow. Right? We're always, that crazy guy, what's he trying to do? And yet, when we're behind that person that's going slow and driving cautiously, come on, I don't have all day. Right? We're complaining. We complain about one way or the other. We're full of complaints. Our computers, boy, in our day, it doesn't matter. You get a new computer, and it's too slow. Just like a few weeks after you have it, it's too slow. When you first get it, man, it's fast and it's ready and it just seems to react. And then all of a sudden it gets too slow. That's because of all those programs we put on it. When it doesn't have anything on it, of course it goes fast, right? But when you start putting things on it, it slows down. And there are so many things, our food. We complain about our food. We complain that it's, you know, too hot or too cold or too spicy or too bland. And there's always complaints. We're full of complaints. Our family sometimes and our friends, sometimes we say, man, I wish they would just back off and leave me alone a little bit. And then they do that and you say, well, don't they care about me? They never phone me. They never call. They never see how I'm doing. We're never happy. We complain. We complain. We're full of complaints about things. Our spouses either spend too much money or they never buy us anything. Right? You say, well, they go out, went out shopping. You went out shopping again? But then, you know, you think, well, they haven't bought me anything for a while. Do they still love me? Well, what's going on? We're never happy with life. You know, the thing with complaining is we don't see it in ourselves. We see it in everybody else. When we complain, we're just stating a fact. But when somebody else complains, they're never happy and they're never content and they're never satisfied. They are discontented and they're always complaining. It's easy to see Israel in our text and other places in the Bible and say, what was their problem? Did they not see all that God had done for them? But if we're really honest with ourselves, we'd have to turn the spotlight on ourselves and say, what is wrong with us? Do we not see all the blessings that we have? Do we not see all the things that God has done for us? Let's read the first couple of verses of chapter 11 this morning of Numbers. It says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. The people complained, and the Lord heard it. I preached this morning about the dangers of complaining. Pray together as we begin. Lord, thank You that we can come this morning. Thank You for the Bible that we have that gives us not only a history so that we know what happened, but real life examples of real people in real circumstances in which, if we're honest, we see ourselves. Help us to see ourselves in the children of Israel this morning and not point the finger at them and their complaining ways, but to see our own selves and how often we are discontented with our life. And how we ought to be more thankful, Lord, that we would not be people who complain so much. So speak to our hearts, Lord, through this passage, you know that there are some going through different things in their life, and perhaps they would in their hearts feel that there was reason for us to complain. And sometimes we don't understand life, and maybe it comes across as complaining when really we're just trying to understand. But Lord, help us to see when we really are complaining that that's what we're doing, and help us to see the blessings in our life and be thankful for what you've done. So speak to us each one, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to see, first of all, complaining in general. You see, the verses we just read, there's nothing specific mentioned. Why were they complaining? There was nothing mentioned about why they complained at the beginning, at the outset of the message. They were just stated as being complaining and the fact that God heard it. There are no specifics as to why, just that they were guilty of doing it and that God heard it. It says in the middle of verse 1, and the Lord heard it. Whatever it was that they were complaining about, they probably thought they were just talking to one another. They probably thought they were just expressing their feelings one to another. And we do, don't we? We talk about one to another. Then we complain about things. We voice our displeasure about things. And we think that it's just between us. But it often and really always goes further than that. Sometimes we think we've got the short end of the stick and we mumble and grumble even just to ourselves. We don't even necessarily complain to anybody else. We just complain to ourselves. Oh, man, I wish, and we mumble along. Sometimes we're walking along, maybe going for a walk or driving or something, and there's nobody else around, but in our minds at least, we're mumbling and we're complaining about somebody or something, and we think it's just me, just getting it off my mind or whatever. But may I remind you this morning that God knows even the thoughts of our heart. And he hears the words of our lips, and he hears and knows what we are expressing, even if it's not verbalized, even if it's not communicated, even to anybody else. And he knows our hearts when we complain. You may try to hide it from him, but God knows. The Bible says that the Lord heard it, and he was displeased by it. It didn't make God happy to hear them complain. The word displeased means to offend, to make angry, or to disgust. The Lord was displeased when he heard the complaining of the children of Israel. May I say to you very clearly this morning, according to this text, God does not like complaining. He does not like it when we complain. Now, Israel was a transitional people. They were in a transitional time. Understand, they were living in less than ideal circumstances. I'm sure we all like vacation. We all like going somewhere. There's an excitement about a trip to get somewhere. But something about getting home, isn't there? There's something about home, being where we know where everything is and everything's organized and we don't have to uproot and go. And it's something about being home. The children of Israel at this point didn't have a home. They were going from slavery to a promised land, which is a great thing, but in the meanwhile, they had no regular home. They had to set up their tent and take it down and put their things in place and then take them down. It was less than ideal circumstances that they were in, and they may well have felt justified in their complaints, but the Bible says that God was displeased. Why would God be displeased with their complaints? I believe that complaining shows a lack of gratitude. You know, God had done a lot of things for Israel, delivering them out of the bondage, and he was preparing them to get into a great place where they could go and live and establish roots. And the Bible says where they would have houses that they didn't build, they would have vineyards that they didn't plant, then they would enjoy the fruit of the land, a land flowing with milk and honey. But along the way, why do we have to, we have to set up the tent again. We've got to uproot again and go again, and And they were complaining. All they saw was the negative. They didn't see the great blessings that God had bestowed upon them and had promised to them. You know, when we complain, we stop being thankful because we start looking at all the negative things instead of all the blessings that are bestowed in our life. Stop and think about the last thing you complained about. And you realize that when you started complaining, you stopped being thankful for all the good things that had happened. We could complain about the rain today, but we could be thankful that we have a building that's dry. You could be thankful if you have an umbrella. You can be thankful that you have a house that you live in that you have, are covered and sheltered from the rain. There's a lot of things to be thankful for, even though we may say there's a negative. If you don't like the snow, you should be thankful you don't have to shovel the rain. Right? There's all kinds of things. We can look at it in the positive way. We can be thankful or we can choose to complain. But when we start complaining, we overlook all the blessings and we find some small things seemingly sometimes to complain about. We minimize the blessings and we maximize the problems. We have that expression, somebody making a mountain out of a molehill. Right? And we're all guilty of it. When we start complaining, that's often what we are doing. We don't like it when other people treat us that way, so why do we treat God that way? Have you ever bestowed blessing upon somebody, maybe bought them something or been a real help to them, and they seem just lacking in gratitude? You think, wow, all that I did for them, and yet they complain. I took them a meal, and they complained they didn't like that kind of food. Wow. How can that be? We don't like it when it's that way around, do we? But how about God, who's given us so much, and yet we say, wow, at least God could have, you know, done it this way. Why didn't God do this for me? The Bible says in Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. You know what murmuring is? It's complaining. Murmuring is that muttering under our breath. That's murmuring. That's complaining. The Bible says in the verses in that context in Philippians 2, verses 13 to 15, why should we not murmur and complain or dispute? Because God is at work. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God's doing something in your life. Why are you complaining? God's at work in your life. Why do things without murmuring and complaining? Because He tells us to. Why do things without murmuring and complaining? Because He says we are lights to shine in this world. If Christians in this world are full of complaints and never satisfied, why would anyone in the world want to become a Christian when Christians are full of complaining about this and that and everything else? So we are told to be content with the things that we have and to be not complaining, because God is not pleased when we complain. And the Bible tells us here in our text, and obviously this isn't the way God handles it in every situation, but God disciplined them for their complaining. He was angered by it, and He judged their complaints, and He sent fire in the camp, and it consumed some of them. I'm not going to say that you're going to get, you know, there's going to be lightning bolt strike or anything like that. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that God is very displeased when we complain. So there was a complaining in general, but there was a specific complaint here as we look further in the chapter. They complained about the goodness of God. Look with me in verse 4 of Numbers 11. It says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. And Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that they should say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us fish, flesh, that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. If thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of thy hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. See, what they began to do here is they began to complain about the goodness of God. Yes, they had a general complaining attitude, but it flowed over into an area where they should have been very thankful for what they had. They were influenced by others. It says in verses 4 to 6, it speaks about the mixed multitude that was among them. Now, the mixed multitude here would speak about people from different nationalities, not Jews by nature, not those who were Israelites, but those who had tagged along for the ride, we might say, when they left Egypt. You know, great things were done, weren't they? Imagine seeing from afar what was taking place in Egypt. God's judgment was upon Egypt, and yet Israel was spared from most of those judgments. I'm sure there were people that said, wow, there's something to those people. There's something exciting going on there. Let's join in. Let's go along with that. And they tagged along, as it were, with Israel, and Israel let them do so. They weren't necessarily believers like Israel. They may have been proselyte Jews, as we would say it, but they wanted to get in on the blessings that Israel was experiencing, and so they came with them out of Egypt. People always want to get in on something that's going well, don't they? Isn't that what happens every playoff season? The team that's doing well, all of a sudden, hey, I'm a fan! Well, he didn't say anything all year. We weren't sure where it was going to go, but now they're doing well. I'll cheer for them. We're guilty of it. Bandwagon fans, we call them. You know, these people were all in when the miracles were taking place. Wow, God opened up the sea. Wow, look what God did to Egypt. Look at all these great things. But now they're in the wilderness for a few days and a few months, and time was going by, and now, boy, life isn't really that exciting anymore. Oh, it was exciting when God first sent food down like the dew upon the ground, and we could just go get it. No grocery bill, but food to the full, and everyone was filled up, and that was great. But now we've been eating the same stuff for a long time, and it's not very exciting anymore. They were there for the good times, but their faith wasn't necessarily in God, and they were quick to complain then when things turned. And what did they do? They influenced Israel. The mixed multitude is where it began. They began to lust for the things that they had in Egypt. They said, oh, we had fish, we had veggies, we had garlic, we had onions, we had all kinds of things. It was a great time, and now here we are, and all we have to eat is this manna. You know, we need to be careful who we surround ourselves with and who we take along our journey. The Bible says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. And this group of people who weren't all in for God began to influence the children of Israel to complain about the goodness of God. Oh my, we need to be careful about those who influence our life. You see, what happened was Israel began to be unthankful for God's provision. They allowed the influence of this mixed multitude to cause them to complain about the food that they were getting. Now, I know that we live in a land of variety, and I have my favorite foods, but I wouldn't want to eat them every day either. I'm not saying I don't sympathize with Israel a little bit in the sense that how would you like the same thing every day? Now, I used to work with a man. He was retiring. I kind of came in to replace him at the company where I work part-time now still, but he was retiring. Every day at lunchtime, he had his three S's: soup, sandwich, stroll. Every day. His soup, every day, the vending machine at work, a can of French Canadian pea soup. Every day. I don't think I'd want that any day. He had it every day. And a sandwich, same kind of sandwich, I don't remember what that was, but he would say it, you know, he'd look at his watch, oh, time for my soup, sandwich, and stroll. I get bored of having the same thing. Now, having said that, I was a very picky eater as a child, and my mom used to pull her hair out trying to figure out what to feed me, but I think probably every day for most of my school years I had ham and cheese sandwich, so I guess I shouldn't really criticize. But, you know, we really do get tired of having the same thing day in and day out. And the children of Israel began to get tired of having the same thing. But realize this, this was a miraculous provision of God. It says later in the verses, I think it's in chapter 12, or maybe we read it in verse 9, or it's in chapter 12, there were 600,000 footmen. So they were like the soldiers of Israel. So 600,000 of them. So figure 600,000 men, maybe between 20 and 35, whatever. So you figure, do the math, there's probably over 2 million Jews in the wilderness getting fed every day by food coming down with the dew enough food, and it met all their needs. This food did not make them lack in any way nutritionally. God had in that food a miraculous food that they'd never seen before. It met every nutritional aspect that they could desire in their life. So it met their needs perfectly. It was unlike anything they'd ever seen. And when they first received it, they were thrilled. But they began to complain about it. They began to complain about God's miraculous, loving provision. And then they overlooked how blessed they were to have a balanced diet provided for them at no cost every day. They tried blending it. They tried grinding it. They tried making soup out of it. They tried everything with it. But it was still the same thing. You know, it's a realization, as we said before, that complaining leads to a lack of thankfulness. And according to Romans chapter 1, that leads down a dangerous path. When we forget to be thankful for the goodness of God. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 2 that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. It helps us to see what a good God He is. When we forget how good God is because we start complaining about things we don't like, we headed down a dangerous path. And people, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that it starts with an ungrateful, unthankful attitude, but it leads far away from God. Why do we find the smallest things to complain about and not see the blessings? By the way, we are told in the Bible that the manna is a reminder that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 33, God said that He fed them with manna that they would understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The manna is a picture of the Word of God that He has given to us to fill our souls every day. It meets our needs. The Word of God is there to satisfy the longing soul. It's a miraculous provision. You realize that we have a Bible today. It's a miraculous thing that we have the Bible today. God's given us His Word. But how is it that we get bored with this book? And we say, oh, do I have to read it again today? I read it yesterday. I read it last week. When we forget to be so thankful for what God has given us in this book, to teach us, to guide us, to lead us. But it becomes old hat. It becomes old school. We say, well, I read that before. I know I've read that. And we forget that this meets the needs of our souls. And God can speak to us as if it's the first time we read it through something we've read 1,000 times before. If we'll just open our hearts to Him. To His Word. Oh, how we need the daily portion of manna from the Word of God. We need not anything else to fill our souls than God's Word. But we get tired when it's preached. We get tired when it's heard. We get tired when we read it. How sad that it is. But how can we complain when we have such a loving, caring God who's provided for us in so many ways? But Israel forgot, really, and they became unthankful for God's provision. And you realize it wore Moses down. We read about it in verses 10 to 15. Moses said, Lord, I can't take this anymore. I can't take this complaining bunch of people that are never happy. They're not all my children, Lord. I didn't bear them. Why do I have to carry them like little babies to the promised land? Lord, just take me out of the picture. That's what Moses said. I can't take it anymore. It wore him down. There was nothing more that he could do to satisfy this great multitude. How could Moses control what they had? How could he feed 2 million people or more? He was ready to throw in the towel and give up. He felt the weight of their complaints, but he was helpless to do anything about it. And you know he was right. He couldn't do anything about it. He just had to trust God to provide. But you realize that it wore so much on Moses that look in verse 21. Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. There it is, verse 12, 21 instead of 12. I had the wrong reference earlier. But it says, thou hast said, I will give them flesh to eat that they may eat a whole month. Look at this. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? What happened to Moses? Moses was worn down by the complaints of the people and he began to doubt God's provision himself. It was a sad situation, wasn't it? You know, complaining has a trickle-down effect, and it discourages us more than we realize. It doesn't only discourage one, but it begins to discourage a group of people. And we'll see it, Lord willing, next week when they got to the border of the Promised Land, and they were ready to go in, but the spies came back, and those 10 men discouraged all those 2 million-plus people. See, this discouragement began, this complaining began in chapter 11 with the mixed multitude, but it spread to all those people, and then it got Moses to throw up his hands in despair and say, "What can I do?" Began with a group who arguably perhaps didn't even belong there because their faith wasn't truly in God, but it ended with an exasperated, discouraged leader. Their complaints effectively paralyzed this group of people and made them ineffective, didn't it? Because they were just so, "What are we going to do? We want something more." And Moses said, "I can't provide you anything more. And I don't even know that God can." You know, the Bible tells us to edify one another. To edify means to build up. What does complaining do? Complaining drags us down. It weighs us down. You ever been having a good day and then somebody starts complaining about this and that? And somebody else is complaining, and you thought, "Wow, I thought it was starting off to be a good day." But you get weighed down. That's what happened to Moses. He was excited about what God was going to do. He was excited about going to the Promised Land, but, boy, he got discouraged. You know, it's an interesting thing in our story here that they got what they wanted, but it didn't satisfy them. Verse 18, "Say thou unto the people," God says to Moses, "sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt, therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out of your nostrils, and it shall be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt?" And God says, "You know what? You're going to get what you want. You want a flesh? You're going to have flesh. You're going to have flesh every day. You're going to have flesh every day for a whole month until you can't stand that flesh anymore." We have a saying, don't we? The squeaky wheel gets the grease. They squeaked and they got the grease. But let me say today that it was not what they needed. It was not what they wanted. In the end, they realized that it came at a great cost. He gave them so much of what they craved for that they were sick of it, and some of them even died. They were overwhelmed by the meat. Their bellies were filled, but according to Psalm 106, verse 15, their souls were made lean. It says, the Bible says, he gave them their heart's desire, but sent leanness to their souls. You know, we better be careful when we start complaining, saying, "Oh, I need this, I need that, like the world has. I remember what I had before." And you know, you may get what you ask for, but the cost that it may come at is a great one. It's a high price. They learned a lesson that God knew better than them what they really needed. They learned that they would have been much better to be satisfied with the manna. Oh, we need to be careful what we complain about and what we ask for, because we just might get it, but we might realize that we would be better off not to have had it. Finally, this morning, we see the complaining about God's leaders, a general complaint, and then there was the complaint about the goodness of God and His provision of manna, but then they began to complain, and it may seem to have come from a surprising source, but they began to complain about the one whom God had set to lead them from Egypt to the Promised Land. It says in chapter 12, Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman, and they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken by us also?" And the Lord heard it. Complaining again, the Lord heard it again. The criticism came, of course, from Moses' own siblings, his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam. They were complaining about nothing to do with Moses' leadership ability, nothing to do about what Moses had said or what Moses had done for Israel. Well, they found something to complain about. Well, he married an Ethiopian woman. What does he think he's doing, marrying an Ethiopian woman? Why did he do that? Why did they complain about that? We don't know. Perhaps because she wasn't a Jew by nature. Presumably she was became a believer, a proselyte Jew, but she was not perhaps a Jew as they thought. He married wrongly. Perhaps because he went outside the typical arranged marriage situation, and more than likely he got married when he was, of course we know he got married after he left Egypt the first time. They questioned, why should Moses lead us when he married this woman who we don't agree with? They saw Moses' choice as a weakness and then used it to question his leadership. They questioned why Moses should be in charge when clearly God had used them too. It says, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Who were they? Miriam and Aaron? Aaron was the spokesman that God had given to Moses. Miriam is called a prophetess. Miriam led Israel in a song of praise when they came across the Red Sea. They said, hey, God's used us too. What's all the deal with him? How come he gets this place of prominence, this place of leadership? It's more than just about him. You know, our complaints about others can easily become the means of demeaning them in order to lift ourselves up, and pride soon creeps in. Isn't that what was taking place here? Moses was the one that God had put in charge, but Miriam and Aaron said, hey, we're as good as him. Matter of fact, we may be better than him because he married an Ethiopian. When we're tempted to complain about others, we need to be very careful that it doesn't become a battle for prominence. Nobody's perfect, but we need to be careful about complaining about those God has put in our lives to lead us, be they our parents, teachers, pastors, supervisors, bosses, whatever, because before we know it, we're going to be using that as an excuse to try and make ourselves look better and them look bad. That's what was taking place here. Oh, Moses. Yeah, well, he married an Ethiopian and God has spoken by us too, so we're just as good as him. We may even be a little bit better than him. Oh, we need to be so careful. Moses' defense, we don't have time to read it all, but we see in verse 3 that Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. But the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses. God intervened in this situation and God said, hey Moses, I want you and Miriam and Aaron to come and meet with me. And they did, and they came forth. But Moses didn't defend himself. Moses said, it's up to God. It probably wouldn't have turned out well to defend himself, because we know how that goes, don't we? You ever tried to defend yourself to somebody who is intent on proving that they are better than you? It usually doesn't turn out very well. I'm the youngest. I have two older brothers, and I tried to defend myself many times in my life. And you know what I thought I was justified in doing? It didn't turn out very well. I probably tried to pull the, well, I'm better than you thing too. I'm sure in my life didn't turn out very well. It doesn't turn out well when we try and defend ourselves in those circumstances and situations. But God intervened directly on Moses' behalf. I like what it says in verse 6. It says, God says, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. As God says, this is how I speak through prophets. I appear to them in a dream. But what does he say? It says, my servant Moses is not so. What, Moses isn't a prophet? Well, God's saying Moses is more than just a prophet. He says he's faithful in all my house. Look at verse 8. With him I will speak mouth to mouth. I don't just speak to Moses in dreams. I speak directly to him, God said. You're trying to make yourself better than Moses, Miriam, and Aaron? Understand that Moses is the one who I've called. And he's the one who I placed in this position. Moses was more than a prophet. God used Moses because of his humility and because of his walk with God. It wasn't the person of Moses that demanded respect so much as the position that God had given to Moses that demanded that respect. Moses certainly wasn't perfect. We know that. We see that in his life. But God had placed him in that place. And so we don't have time to read the story, but in verses 10 to 16, we see that God sent judgment again upon Miriam and Aaron for their complaints about the leadership that God had placed in their lives. Miriam was stricken with leprosy, and who did they go to then? Aaron said, Moses, can you please pray for Miriam? Hey, I know we said you're really not that great, but can you do something for us here to help us out? And what did Moses do? Say, too bad for you. No, Moses said, of course, I'll pray. And he prayed and intervened, and God cleansed Miriam ultimately of that leprosy. Moses could have said, no way, too bad, she deserves it. But instead, he showed his meekness. He prayed for the one who had spoken against him. He prayed on behalf of someone else who had spoken against him. You know, they may have not deserved what Moses showed to them, but he recognized that it was of God who he was and who he was made to be. As a result of Moses' intercession, Miriam was forgiven and cleansed. Again, we see in Moses, what a picture of Jesus Christ. Because what did Jesus do? Those who spoke against him and said, crucify him, crucify him. What did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. And he intervened on our behalf. He came to die for us who deserved what we would get. But he said, no, I will take their place. I will intercede on their behalf. Just as Miriam couldn't cleanse herself of her leprosy, neither can we cleanse ourselves of our sin. But Jesus took upon himself our sin so that we could be forgiven and we could be cleansed of our sin. See, it doesn't work. It doesn't go well to complain. The dangers of complaining, whether it's in general, about God's goodness, about some person in our life. Oh, it's so easy to complain. But we must be careful not to do it. God isn't pleased by our complaining, whether it's verbalized or just muttered under our breath. Because really it's a slap in the face of Him who has done so much for us when we start to complain about the things that He has done. You know, the manna of God's Word isn't always exciting, but it always meets your needs. Don't complain or say, well, I'm kind of tired of reading the Word of God. No, it will meet your needs. Just ask God to open your heart and your eyes and your mind. Continue on with His Word. The leadership that God has placed in your life isn't always perfect, but you need to respect their God-given place in your life. Because people were guilty of influencing others, but don't be one who drags others down by complaining. Be one who edifies and lifts up those around about us in our life. If there's anyone who has little to complain about, it's us. We really are people very blessed. We need to realize those blessings. I know we say, well, Thanksgiving, that was a few weeks ago. Every day should be Thanksgiving. God's done so much. Life isn't perfect. But we have so much, physically, spiritually, we have so much to be thankful for. May we realize today and beware of the dangers of complaining. Let's pray together.